Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Good morning, welcome to St. Timothy. Happy you all are here. Today is the third Sunday of Easter, so we're still celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and his time and making his appearances to the disciples and to over 500 witnesses, all I'd say. So it's a joyous season. It's great. Anything beforehand? Yeah, in our prayers, we're going to remember Major is talking to Linda Clay, and Major went into hospice recently, and so just a tough time right now, so we're going to remember them in our prayers. And then also for Santa, if any of you haven't heard yet, but she's also been transferred to hospice. She's been going through cancer treatment, and a lot of that, and that trial was failed, and so now she can be moved to more of a hospice situation. So we're going to remember them in our prayers. I don't think I had anything else beforehand, but we're celebrating Easter, the resurrection, third Sunday of Easter. And so let us sing our first hymn, our first day.
Was
is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 3. While the lame man who was now healed clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's more. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from John 3, chapter 1 through 7. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. Stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day.
Thank you.
Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. We continue with our hymn. Please be seated. From 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has yet not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. So far, our text. You know, I think I wanted to begin this morning to talk about, what's the sun here? I know it's the weekend, so you guys don't want to think about this, but many of you don't have to worry about it anymore. I want to talk about work and jobs. There's something about work that comes with certain responsibilities, certain burdens, and then certain relationships that you deal with. So if you held a job as a lawyer, you're expected to hold on to these responsibilities and burdens and relationships. You're expected to know the law of the land. You offer legal advice and counsel. You are part of legal negotiations, but you also carry the burden of other legal problems for others, for your clients. But you also have those relationships with the clients, with the prosecutor, with the judge, different from each other. But if you don't fulfill those roles, if you don't help with legal problems, if you don't help your client, you won't be a good lawyer. And then you won't be a lawyer for much longer. The same is true for all professions, for doctors and nurses. They heal people. They're supposed to take care of people. That's their responsibility. But they also have burdens, taking the burden of someone else's health, whether by willful neglect or by the surprise circumstances of life. But if they don't maintain those things, if they don't fulfill those responsibilities, they won't be a doctor or a nurse for long. Same is true of teachers. Teachers educate and raise children to learn math, science, history, reading, but they also have burdens. They have to deal with difficult children, maybe difficult parents. And they have to maintain the relationships and boundaries with children and parents and there are other people they work with. But if you don't do those things, if you stop educating, if you stop maintaining, if you infringe on relationships, then you're not going to be a teacher for long. There are certain responsibilities, burdens, and relationships that come with this.
If you don't do what you're supposed to do, then you won't be a good lawyer, good doctor, good teacher, and you won't be those things for long. But thankfully, in our society, we kind of have a nice setup where if you don't like doing what you're doing, if you don't like these kind of jobs, if you decided this is not what you wanted to do, you get tired of it, you kind of can move on to something else. You can get educated somewhere else and pursue something that's more in line with your interests, more in line with what you want to do. And so we're very thankful and grateful for that kind of opportunity we can have here. But a lot of you know that there are some jobs, in some places we have to do work, that aren't things we can pick. They're not so easy to get out of. And some would say that parenting is a job itself. Something that we just don't able to get out of, and people will put a positive spin and say it's a joyful work, or it's not even work at all. But we all know that parenting does come with certain types of responsibilities, certain types of burdens, and definitely relationships with others. You have to make sure, as a parent, that you feed and raise your children. You have to make sure that they're taken care of, that they can grow into some functioning sort of adult. But yet, parenting is not something you can quit. You can't really stop being a parent. And as many of you know, with grown children, it seems to keep going. But if you don't fulfill the things you're supposed to do as a parent, if you don't raise your children, if you leave them, if you stop instructing them, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, well, then you're not being a good parent. And sometimes in those ways, you might find that it won't be long until you're no longer seen as a parent. John, in his first letter, is talking about a separate job, one with its own responsibilities, its own burdens and relationships. He's talking about children, though. Well, he's talking about children of God. He's writing to the people, well, the people John is writing to, he is encouraging them as children of God. John would say that they are children of God by the gracious gift of the Father, and that in this reality, as God's child, God's children, there are certain responsibilities, burdens, and relationships. What the author seems to be saying is they are part of God's family. And that's the whole driving theme of the entire letter of John, is that these Christians are the children of God, and that they are brought into this family as part of this body of Jesus Christ with responsibilities, burdens, and relationships. And how they are part of this body, as we read, it's whoever purifies hope, whoever has purified hope in Jesus Christ, or Christ purifies himself in them with hope. And whoever practices righteousness is righteous, big church word. And whoever does the right thing, the will of the Father, they're in the right. They're being children of God. Also, in these seven short verses, John does describe for us what makes people not children of God, what makes them bad children. A person who's not a child of God is one who simply practices sinning, anyone who practices lawlessness, because no one who abides in him, Jesus, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. And so anyone who keeps on sinning neither is seen Jesus or is known by him. And it's very similar to what Christ would say in the Gospels, that through him, through Christ, you see the Father. Well, John tells us that as God's children, through God's children, others see Jesus Christ. And so, children of God, do righteous things. And children of sin, do sinful things. Children of God do God things. Children of sin do their own thing. And living in sin, as John puts it, is living without the Spirit and living without faith. And when sin does whatever it wants, the Holy Spirit and faith are never there. Because sin is never innocent. And sin is never the victim. But there's that church word that's used, righteousness, which simply just means doing the right thing according to God's will. To be good, to strive for the truth. And that is never a matter of indifference. God's will, God's righteousness, striving for the truth is expressed in one way. Love. And not the kind of love that lets wrongdoing continue or tolerates evil, but it's the kind of love that seeks to care and correct for the betterment of one another. And the problem, well, we're all pretty well aware of, those of us who have grown up in the church, that we can't live for God's will. We can't seem to do the right thing. And the worst part is, the problem is it's not that we can't do the right thing. It's not that we can't do these things. The real problem is that we don't even want to. We don't even want to love. We don't even want to be a child of God. At least that's not something we would say. Well, I would never say I don't want to be a child of God. I would never say that. But my actions can certainly give the impression. Just like a lawyer, a doctor, or a teacher, if we don't act like who we are, then maybe we're not going to be in that position for long. As John says, no one who abides in Christ keeps on sinning. A child of God does what a child of God should do, and that is to do the will of the Father. To show love to those around us in various responsibilities, burdens, and relationships. And to do the will of the Father is to perform our responsibilities with joy and love for our neighbor. To take on one another's burdens. To grow and reconcile our relationships. To be a child of God is to sacrifice what I want so that I can give for someone else's needs. A husband would sacrifice his own desires in order to love his wife's interests. To carry one another's burdens is for Christian brothers and sisters to come around and support fellow Christian who is on hard times, single parent, raising children alone, the widow or widower who has no one to be with. And to maintain relationships means, as a child of God, you might have to let go of that grudge that keeps you from being at peace with your faithful friend. I fear sometimes that we take this fact that by God's grace we are children of God, that we decide that all the other stuff no longer matters because it's not by my works that I'm saved. It's not by my works that I'm God's child. But then we have to face John and what he has to say about that. And what John says is that children of God do good. They act righteously. They act like children of God. And righteousness is not just doing for the sake of doing. Righteousness is upholding the truth for the sake of the truth, for the sake of God's will, for Jesus Christ. And yet we get trapped in thinking, well, I'll do this thing when it's convenient, when I feel it, or when the Spirit moves me. But that's not a child of God. Yes, we do need God's grace. And we need God's free gift of Jesus Christ. Even though God's grace is free to you, it's still incredibly expensive. It came with a high price. Grace claimed Jesus Christ's life to get it. And this free gift of grace from God happened because he sent his Son into this broken world to restore it and to renew it, to bring it back to the Father. And it was expensive for God because the people that Christ came to save rejected and killed him on the cross. It cost God his one and only Son. Yet with the crucifixion, he destroyed the power of sin, the power of death and the devil, and the power that makes us not even want to be children of God. Jesus puts it to death. Yet he doesn't stop there. In his resurrection, he not only shows that he is the Son of God, but he begins to restore and renew the creation and bring about new life. In the resurrection, something new begins to manifest itself. And that's the will of the Father, the will of God, that permeates through his children. And that is love. The same is true for all of you. Not only did God's grace claim Christ's life, but it does demand your life as you receive it. Your lives are no longer your own because in your baptism, your life was given up to God so that in his Son, you become children of God. The purpose of Jesus Christ's crucifixion and resurrection is to offer forgiveness of sins, but it also gives you new life. You are the resurrected people of God, the children of God. And a child of God, you are in Christ, transformed and created into someone new. And the Lord creates his people to be his children. And through his people, fulfills his will. You are free to be children of God, freed from the curse and condemnation of God's law, and you're freed of the necessity of making ourselves right before God. You're free so that you can now take on your responsibilities, your burdens, and your relationships, and follow through on God's will and purpose. The simple message here, the good news, is that in Jesus Christ, you are God's children. Now, there is a challenge for you to act like God's children. And with that doesn't just come freedom from cares of the world or freedom from responsibility. It's a freedom from the power of sin and death. Children of God, while redeemed, saved, and made right before God, learn to take on this message with joy. And children of God carry responsibilities in the various walks of life that the Lord has led you. You see, the thing about jobs and work, like a lawyer, a doctor, a teacher, and all these different professions, they earn those positions of authority and power because of their training, their intellect, and willingness to perform the job. They're bound to their actions and work because they need to perform well in those fields to keep their status and to keep their job. The thing about parents is they don't earn their position because it is something simply given to them when a child is born. But even then, it can be snatched away if they don't perform or take up those responsibilities, burdens, and relationships. And when that happens, sometimes it can never be recovered. But for you, you are the children of God. And you have been given an expensive gift, which is the life and light of Christ. A gift given not based on your worth or your expertise. A gift not based on who you once were or who you are today. It's a gift not premised on your training or intellect or willingness to perform. It's a gift that you didn't have much decision over or earned. It's a gift that is not easily lost. It simply is a gift out of God's love for you. And it's shown through his Son, Jesus Christ. You are children of God because God in Jesus Christ has claimed you as his child. With that, you are free to go and carry on your responsibilities, to carry one another's burdens and form relationships and assurances of joy, to love the family member who might make holidays difficult, to do the responsibilities of our vocations and callings that the Lord has given you to do. To be a child of God is not something you gain from your performance, and it's not something easily lost by lack of performing. You are baptized to be a child of God, purified in the hope that you have. You are made right by faith in the Son of God, and you are renewed and recreated to be his child, to be God's child. That is what it means to be a child of God. To be claimed by, depend on, and renewed by Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. We continue on page 7 of our worship folder by confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. As you're able, please stand.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We continue with the hymn. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, hear my prayer.
And let my cry come to you.
Lord God, in your presence we find fullness of joy. And by your right hand, Jesus Christ, you win and deliver peace forevermore. In the midst of this world's sins and sorrows, give us peace in the knowledge of his salvation and confident hope in the resurrection of the dead. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you have made us your children and gathered us into your holy church. Sustain your word and its message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins among us. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, you declare us to be your children, to live out your purposes in the world and the responsibilities you have called us to take part in. Give us courage, strength, and perseverance to live out your truth in our daily lives, to live as your children in your creation. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Almighty God, give peace to our homes, and enlighten them by Christ's resurrected life. Assure those who live alone that they are your children. Let your forgiveness rule over our lives, no matter our circumstances. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Mighty God, preserve our nation and its leaders, especially our president, our governor, our state and local officials. Preserve order and decency in this fallen world by their hands, and restrain the sins and deceptions of the lawless, that we may practice righteousness while awaiting the eternal peace promised in Christ's life. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Holy God, watch over those who serve and give their lives for our sake. We especially remember the men and women of our military, law enforcement, firefighters, and paramedics. Guide their callings and let your just will be done. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, as your son's wounds brought gladness and peace to the troubled disciples, give your presence and comfort to the troubled in our midst. We especially remember Wayne, Sandra, Pastor Flack, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Thirza, Alex, Debbie, Bella, Ava, and Esther. We especially want to lift up your beloved son, Major, who has been moved from his home to be cared for by doctors and nurses. Give him strength and assurance in the promise you give in Jesus Christ, and comfort his wife, Linda, as she also transitions to new life circumstances. We also lift up your beloved daughter, Sandra, who has taken a negative turn in her cancer treatment and transferred to hospice care. Lord, give her courage and hope in the resurrection of our Lord, who holds on to his beloved. Be with her family as they seek to care for her and us, her church, who lift up our prayers and supports her in all her needs. Lastly, we remember our faithful friends, our brothers and sisters, who are unable to gather with us in worship as one body of Christ. For Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, Thirza, and Jim, and Alex. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Caring Creator, you lift up in prayer all those who suffer for your name's sake. We remember persecuted Christians across the world, our brothers and sisters who endure trials we might never know. Grant them strength and courage to face death with hope and confidence in your word. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people rescue from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness, and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by our governance, may be righteous in your sight. through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all.
Amen.
We continue with our last hymn. You may be seated.
Thank you.